Welcome to the Intuitively You podcast, where we chat all things intuitive eating, body image, finding peace with food, and so much more. I'm your host, Jen Baswick, intuitive eating dietitian and embodiment coach, and I'm your guide along your journey to food freedom so that you can improve your relationship with food and your body to no longer hold you back from living your best, most fulfilling life. We'll be chatting about all the real talk, the tips and tricks, the struggles, and most importantly, how you, yes you, can finally find peace with food and your body. After each episode, I'll be sure to wrap it up with some takeaways for you to implement in your life, so make sure to stick around until the end. Now, let's dive into today's episode.
You may want to buckle up for this episode. As I'm sure you know, if you've listened to this podcast before, I will take any opportunity that I can to call out diet culture BS when I see it. And recently, you may know, you may not know, I think, you know, I know this because I'm in this space. And of course, it's something that impacts everyone in the intuitive eating, anti-diet, health at every size, et cetera, movements. And basically what I'm talking about is there was a recent post article from the Washington Post that was incredibly, oh gosh, the words, I can't even sum up the words that I want to use because I'm just so disappointed in how biased and ignorant and just missing the mark on the true cornerstones of these practices that this post, this article was, and how much harm that I feel like this type of post can do. And I'm just going to add a potential trigger warning. If you go to look at this post from the Washington Post, if you read it, even the title of it is something that I don't want to say, but I'm going to tell you. The article itself was titled, "As Obesity Rises, Big Food and Dietitians Push Anti-Diet Advice." And that in itself is just like, okay, what? Why are we connecting all of these things? And like, I understand from the perspective of, say, like my past self, when I was very into the dieting world, very focused on weight, very focused on all of those more restrictive means to health and well-being, I can see where this biased tone comes from, because I used to be in a similar headspace until I literally just realized how harmful all of that was to not only me, but so many humans on this earth. And I'm just going to assume likely you as well, if you're listening to this. And essentially, this article is something that I didn't want to read, but I wanted to share about it. So I took an opportunity to do a deep dive and sit down and read it. And quite frankly, it pissed me off. Reading it was just boiling my blood about how this article really, really just stuck with this one narrative and did not include so much information out there on this movement, this anti-diet movement, that is important to also talk about when we're talking about these topics. And I do understand reporters have agendas when they write certain articles, and they also want to have a compelling story and all of these types of things. But I'm just so incredibly irked by the way that they went about this one. Really, I'm going to get into it and I'm going to share some thoughts with you, but there is such a large systemic issue at hand since the intuitive eating, health at every size, weight inclusive, non-diet work has become increasingly popular in the past few years. It's just blown up. And because of that, there is really this like large issue on a big scale, and it's really shown within this Washington Post article about how this kind of work is like not related to health. Really, like what I want to break down for you in this episode is how anti-diet does not mean anti-health. And that, I believe, is like the agenda of this article from the Washington Post, was that if you follow anti-diet advice, you are going to be unhealthy, right? Like that at its simplest is the agenda they were pushing, the story and the angles that they were pushing and trying to highlight throughout this post. And I'm here to tell you how publications like this are spreading quite literally misinformed, ignorant information about what anti-diet really means. And this just like makes me the most frustrated, because I can only imagine how confusing it must be to see headlines like this when you are someone who is trying to pursue your healing journey for your relationship with food and your body. Like, how confusing is that? That just makes you question everything again. Even moving from restrictive eating patterns or the binge eating cycle away from that into more of a intuitive eating, non-diet, actually supportive for your well-being way of eating is such a jump, and it can be really hard for folks. It was hard for me. And to see something like this in the headlines out there would just, you know, stifle moving forward into that healing journey, and not like it puts up a barrier for people to actually get support when they are deeply struggling in their relationship with food. And that irks me the most, because I know how incredibly miserable my life was, how bad my mental health was, how, you know, terribly I felt, even just energy wise, so low energy when I was in those more restrictive states with my eating and trying to follow all this type of advice where it's like, you can't have the, you know, quote unquote bad foods because those are going to make you unhealthy, and you have to stick to just these, and you have to eat in this regimented way, and you have to focus on your weight, and doing all of those things just was the worst thing for my well-being and my health. And I'm going to try my best to get through this episode with not going on too many tangents, but it just really disappoints me, because further than disappoints me, I don't even have words, honestly, because I know how hard it is to make that transition away from a restrictive way of eating, way of thinking about food, towards actually finding true peace with food. And with that, when I say that, that means taking care of your physical, mental, emotional, overall health and well-being. It is not some weird in isolation, like let's just eat all the fun foods all the time and that's what intuitive eating is. No, I mean, I want you to feel your best and figure out the ways of eating, of moving, of going about your health and wellness journey that feels good to you. What helps you get there, instead of all of these rules and shoulds out there that were not meant for you, that are restrictive and harmful. Not following that, but following what works to make you have and live your healthiest life, not just in the physical way, but in mental, emotional, all of the other ways too. And to me, that's what anti-diet work is about. And what makes me so frustrated about this article is that it doesn't even shed any little bit of like sliver of light onto that point. So in this episode, I really want to set the record straight and dive into talking about some of the points mentioned in this article and kind of like myth busting, if you will, about these misinformed views of the anti-diet movement and anti-diet work. So I don't even know where to begin, to be honest, but what I do want to say is there is an article that I read by a dietitian with a master's of public health, and also she was herself a former writer for the Washington Post. She wrote an article about this article that Washington Post wrote about anti-diet dietitians, and I am going to link that post because I found her writing about this and like critical lens on what the Washington Post wrote to be very helpful. And she did a really good job of breaking those things down and like shedding light on how biased and like misinformed this Washington Post article was. So I'm going to link that one in the show notes for you. It is a great post. It's titled, "Why is the Washington Post Attacking Anti-Diet Dietitians?" And I'm going to link that one for you in the show notes. I'll probably mention a couple of things from her, from Carrie, throughout the episode today, but I will, just so you know, like if you're curious about the article at this point, which I'm sure you are, by all means, you can go and read the original article. I'm not linking it because I don't want to be giving them the benefit of having all these backlinks to that article, but you can go and read that and you can Google it and find it. But I would suggest, you know, especially if you're someone who is in your relationship with food healing journey, to rather read the article by Carrie about the Washington Post article. Hope that makes sense. She does a good job at like telling all the things that they share in that article, but using a more critical, like, why would they miss this point and this thing, and a very critical lens of that article. So I'm going to link that one if you're curious, and yeah, go into some of the points of the Washington Post article. So just to set the scene, they utilize the story of someone who was struggling with their relationship with food and turned to, I believe, YouTube as the main thing to help improve their struggles with food. And at its, you know, very simplest, I'm just trying to paraphrase to keep it shorter for you, but basically throughout the article, they have quotes from this woman and she's sharing how, you know, following the anti-diet advice that she learned from this YouTube channel just led her to eating, you know, all of the, I think she mentioned Twinkies and another type of food that she had previously forbidden. And then she ended up, you know, gaining a large amount of weight and all of these things, and how it wasn't helpful for her. And this goes on, a string of her story goes on throughout the entire article. They keep coming back to it. And I do want to say, like, I totally sympathize and empathize with that individual. I know how frustrating that can be when we go about this type of work in the way that's not considering all of the factors that need to be considered. And that's often what happens when someone's journey kind of goes like that. Not that that's the, you know, end all be all, like a bad thing or all any of that stuff, but often when it's just like turns into this free for all of I get to eat whatever I want, whenever I want, and not considering any of the other aspects that come into intuitive eating and anti-diet work, like truly learning what makes your body feel best, what gives you the most energy, how we can build out meals to support you best, both physically and mentally, and listening to your hunger and your fullness and understanding the nuances of all of those things and really like working with your body instead of against it. When we forget about all of those things, it does just like seemingly look like, oh yeah, who cares that like we're just ditching all these rules about food and eating whatever we want. And if I feel like I want something, then I'm going to have that something. And I'm not saying there's something inherently wrong with that, but it's like, it's a little bit more deep than that. Like, it's not just that simple at surface level. It's like something I covered in my recent, free workshop, if you were there, the How to Actually Listen to Your Body free workshop. And I really talked about that, of how, like, you know, if your mind is telling you, well, I want the cookies and now I want the chips and now I want the candy. And, you know, a lot of people have the idea that intuitive eating or non-diet work is just like, yeah, okay, well, I'm just going to listen to that because that's what I'm supposed to do because I'm not supposed to have food rules. But that's really not considering, like, okay, why are you really like reaching for those foods? Does your, like, would that support your body right now? Like your physical body? Is it just like a mental, like impulse-based craving, or is something emotional going on for you? And what would actually be supportive for you right now? Do you need a more nourishing snack? And like all of these things, and really like what I talked about in the workshop. And if you listen to my previous episode, you know this, but the freedom method, where we're bringing in not only the mind, but the body and emotions as well, and having this like convergence of all three of those things coming together so that we are supporting ourselves in the best way possible. And it's not just a free-for-all of eating. And I think, you know, this article from the Washington Post paints anti-diet work as a free-for-all with eating the quote unquote junk foods, right? So I want to say that to you as like a really big point here is that anti-diet work does not mean just eating Twinkies in unlimited amounts. Like that is not it. Yes, it is making peace with those foods like Twinkies and not feeling like they are so demonized or you are so bad if you do choose to have some Twinkies. Like it's really removing literally the shame and the guilt around those foods, but it is not telling you to go off and eat Twinkies all the time and have those as your main foods or anything like that. It is not like that. It is not black and white, right? And the, you know, how I referred to this almost like main character of the Washington Post article, this woman, a quote, which I want to read you the quote that she mentioned for the article. Just kind of like paints the picture of how, you know, people can think about this in that black and white, overly simplistic way that's not helpful. So she quotes, "Your relationship with food would just get magically healed if you just ate the donuts and ate the cookies and weren't afraid of what you were eating." That sentence in itself, like, kind of tells me a lot about, you know, this individual's perspective on the anti-diet work. And it's truly just not that simple. Like if you allow yourself to eat the donuts and the cookies and you're not afraid of what you eat, yes, that is part of this work, but that in itself is not going to magically fix your relationship with food. No, it's not. That alone is not the full picture. And just following that alone is not going to get you to the place of having a positive relationship with food. There are so many other things that come into this, like I mentioned before, that are being left out of this narrative. And I just think that's so important. And I want you to know that maybe you have thought this as well. Like if I just let go of the food rules, then everything's going to be fine. No, there's more to it than that. And it's not helpful to look at it in that black and white, like all or nothing kind of way. And I often describe this to my clients of, and this is where a lot of fears around this work comes in, right? Like when we're thinking about going into a food freedom journey or following intuitive eating, a lot of people have the idea that we're going from one extreme to another. We're going from restrictive dieting and really restricting the food that we're eating and flip-flopping all the way to the other end of the spectrum of just like having so much of the fun foods that we forbidded for so long in such big amounts and all the time. And I'm never going to stop eating those. And those are going to be the main foods that I eat and all this stuff. Like that in itself is so telling of the all or nothing mindset. And it is not like that. This work is finding the middle gray area where we are having nourishing, nutrient dense, balanced meals. And we are not beating ourselves up for having the donuts or the cookies or anything like that. We are allowed to have them in amounts that make us feel good and not overdo it on them. That is the point, right? Like, this again, I am getting frustrated because it's just, I think thinking about the agenda that this article from the Washington Post was pushing makes me so frustrated because it doesn't understand or take into any consideration the actual reason for anti-diet work and what I just described. So that's a really big point that I wanted to drive home is like the anti-diet work does not mean just having these fun foods in big unlimited amounts and that's what it means. No, it's not. It's much deeper than that. Another thing I wanted to share was this article from the Washington Post really like, and I don't love using this word. I actually hate using this word because I find it so stigmatizing and oppressive and just, you know, not helpful for anyone. But I'm going to use the word just because it was used in the article. They really use the word obesity as a weapon in this article, and they blame it all on food, which is just completely ignorant as heck and totally misses the mark on the purpose of this weight inclusive, anti-diet, health at every size movement, like all of these things together, right? Like it misses the mark on that and really like totally goes, doesn't even touch on the fact that these movements are really in favor of fighting against very oppressive and inequitable harms of weight bias and weight stigma that exist in healthcare and how those things are truly harming so many people in this world. Like, I just am so beyond frustrated how weight centric, I guess, maybe is a way to put it, this article is, and how it's like tainting the whole concept of this anti-diet work from removing weight bias and weight stigma and doing our best to advocate for folks in all size bodies to get the care that they deserve and to find a relationship with food that they deserve, instead of this overly restrictive, can't have any of the foods that you enjoy type of thinking if someone is in a larger body. Like, no, that is so, so awful and like harmful to so many people. And they even quote something about health at every size in the article about how weight bias and the healthcare system as it is harming fat people. And then they leave it at that. And I'm like, what? Like, and then they like shift it all around to being like, well, this is all still so bad, right? Like, we need to fix weight. Weight is the problem. I'm like, oh my gosh. I just, it's unbelievable how much is missed in the nuance of these topics in this article. And it's very incredibly, incredibly frustrating. And I think I also want to mention a fellow non-diet intuitive eating dietitian. You may know her, Sam Previtt from Find Food Freedom. She actually shared I believe it was both on TikTok and Instagram, but a video where she was sharing that the writer, the lead writer for this Washington Post article, actually reached out to her and interviewed her for this article. And she shared a lot of these nuances and how people in marginalized bodies should be centered in this like conversation, and how literally nothing that she shared with this lead writer on this article got shared. There's no mention of anything that she said, and how incredibly disappointing that is, because she did shed light, or the way she shared it, obviously, I don't know, I wasn't there for the conversation, but the way that Sam shared it on her video is that she shed a lot of the light on the nuances here and how, you know, harmful a lot of this weight bias is for folks in marginalized bodies. And, you know, none of that was conveyed. And I think that is, you know, an equally just frustrating part. There's so many frustrating things about this article. And to hear her share that she shared a lot of nuanced conversations about this and none of them got used or, you know, shed light on, it just, again, goes to show how biased that the writing was done in this article to leave someone who is a thought leader in this space completely out of the conversation, even though they were interviewed for the purpose of the article. So that tells me that the writers were just like, yeah, you know, those messages don't fit our agenda for the story that we want to convey here, right? So that's just something else to keep in mind. What else do I want to say? My goodness, I know this is like probably lots of tangents, but I think this is really important to talk about, and I'm going to, you know, keep sharing. I don't know. I have a few more points that I do want to share. Really just shedding light on what restrictive eating and restrictive diets are and how that is not a helpful approach to go, because even though they don't come out and say it directly in this article, there is an undertone of, you know, that is the way to health, right? We have to cut out these quote unquote junk foods and eat in a restrictive way to be healthy is kind of the undertone of the article. And with that being said, I want to say and make sure you know, restrictive diets just don't work in the long term, period. They, in many, you know, research articles out there have shown time and time again that restrictive eating leads to weight cycling. And weight cycling meaning regaining and then losing weight again and regaining it again in kind of that like yo-yo pattern, right? So that's weight cycling. And really what happens there is, like, you know, eventually over time, weight creeps upwards in the trend. Even if we're gaining and losing, it's like on an upward trend. That often happens in the long term to people who follow restrictive diets. And, you know, the really interesting piece again, like, I find that so funny as I was reading that article, is like, they have a part in there, and I'll quote, "Studies show that restrictive dieting can significantly slow metabolism, a condition that can persist for years," end quote. They say that in the article, and then they go on about like the complete opposite in the rest of it. It's like they like put a couple sprinkles of some of the truth in here, but then just decided to turn a blind eye. They're like, yeah, maybe we can mention this, but then no, it's also like we can't be having people saying that eating all foods is good for you. No. Like, it's just mind-boggling sometimes when you look at it like this. And it is also true that having these very harsh perceptions of food and demonizing food is harmful. And in research, those types of thinking can lead to disordered eating and eating disorders, right? That is an association that is shown in research. And how is that something that is not in this conversation at all? And in that blog post that I mentioned, that Carrie Dennett, the registered dietitian with Masters of Public Health, who also was a former writer for Washington Post, in the article that she wrote about this Washington Post article, she quotes the statistic of one person dies every 52 minutes as a direct result of an eating disorder. Why is that not included in the idea of quote unquote health that the Washington Post is trying to convey? Did the reporters here just like forget about that whole side of things, or did they really just want to turn a blind eye to it because it didn't fit their agenda or narrative based on this biased view of anti-diet? That is a big point and big fact statistic that is just incredibly hard to leave out of a conversation like this, because it has to be there. It has to, because if we are promoting a restrictive way of eating and not advocating for positive relationships with food through this work that has been proven to do that, then we are lending to disordered eating and eating disorders, maybe not completely directly, but definitely indirectly. And dieting itself definitely can lead to disordered eating and eating disorders. That is what happened to me. That is my journey, and that is many people's journey, and that is shown in the research. So, like, again, boils my blood. And I want to share a quote from Carrie, the registered dietitian who wrote this critical article of the Washington Post article. I want to quote something that she mentions in there. So, begin quote here. "The goal of the anti-diet approach is more peace with food and body, which can reduce stress and weight cycling, both of which are good for health. Studies show that on average, there's no weight change with this approach. On an individual level, when moving from dieting to intuitive eating, some people gain weight, some people lose weight, and some people stay around the same. This depends partly on where they were at when they started. Were they fresh off a diet and temporarily weight suppressed, or were they binging nightly? End quote. And again, I will link the full article that Carrie wrote in the show notes. I think it's a really great one. If you want to go and read that after listening to this episode, I would highly recommend it. Really, that quote just kind of sheds light on the whole, you know, agenda of the Washington Post article is, well, if you follow anti-diet, you're going to eat all of these fun foods all the time, and that's going to give, you know, you incredible big amounts of weight gain, and then that's going to be something that's incredibly harmful for your health and da 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 da. That's the agenda there. But really, in reality, when you actually follow intuitive eating in the way that it's meant to, not this like wishy-washy, oh, I'm just going to eat whatever I want and lose all the food rules and everything's going to be fine. That's it. That's all I have to focus on. No, like when you actually follow intuitive eating the way that it's meant to and all the components of it, that is something that truly leads to various different health outcomes. And I'm also going to, in addition to Carrie's article, I'm going to link to a page that has hundreds of studies that have been done on the intuitive eating approach and how time and time again, when implemented in the way that it's meant to be practiced, like I said, with all the components of intuitive eating, not just this like, oh, fun sunshine and rainbows idea of intuitive eating that is being like co-opted by all of these things out there, but it shows how intuitive eating can improve various aspects of health, mental health, and overall quality of life. There are hundreds of studies on this, and studies that are more like review type articles that are critically looking at all of the research out there. So many, there's lots. I'm going to link that if you are someone who's interested in that kind of stuff. But all of this to say, I'm largely frustrated and disappointed by headlines coming out like this, because I can see already how much harm this will do to people out there who deserve to heal from their struggles with food. And that breaks my heart, honestly. And just, you know, one more thing that I do want to say, and I do want to mention in this episode, is the fact of the matter is I and many non-diet dietitians out there who are properly trained, right? Like, I'm a certified intuitive eating counselor who are properly trained in these areas. Some people who share this information are not. That's something to remember. We are trying our best to convey the messages of intuitive eating and non-diet work and weight inclusive practice and all of these things to you on a day-to-day basis, right? Whether it's here on the podcast, on Instagram, on TikTok, in our emails that we send you, in our workshops, right? All of these things, we are trying our best. But I think it's always important to remember social media and getting little tidbits of information here and there is not the full picture, right? Like, you can read one singular post, but this work is so nuanced. There are so many layers to it. There are different components to it that just relying on social media alone to support you, it probably won't hit the mark, right? You may get led astray. And I definitely am saying no ill things about the individual who was, you know, centered in this Washington Post article, but it sounds like to me that this individual used YouTube solely by the way that they paint the picture. Again, I don't know. I don't know her. I don't know the full story, but I know what was in the article by the way they paint it. It sounded like it was just advice from YouTube and took that for face value and applied it to her life, and it didn't work for her. And that's fine. That's fair. But I think it's really important to know that getting your information solely from social media and not understanding all of the nuances of this type of work can be harmful, right? And I think it's important to know that working with a professional who is trained in these areas, who knows what they're, you know, how to support you through these different things and the things that come up and how to apply it to your life. And that's something that's really important to me. Like, this work should work for you, not some cookie cutter way of going about things, but there are real methods that are researched and why this type of work exists. So anyways, all that to say, you can't just take what you see on social media and take that for face value and say, well, I applied what I saw on Instagram and it didn't work, and this whole anti-diet intuitive eating thing is bogus. Like, no, that's not the full picture. You have to take in all the components of this work, maybe get support, right? If you can't afford support, again, in that article from Carrie, she lists a lot of books that you could potentially read that do take into consideration more of the nuances of this type of work. So there's always resources like that. If you can't afford to hire someone to support you through this, there are things like that. And knowing that, like, you can't get all the information from just social media, and this stuff is nuanced and there are layers to it. And it is important to not just take what you hear out there for face value. There's a lot more to it. And I just, like, I know I'm kind of repeating myself now, but I think it's so important to know that. And if you're ever confused, or if you see something and you're confused about it, I would be happy to point you in the right direction or try and share as much nuance as I can. If you want to DM me on Instagram, at The Intuitive Nutritionist, you can do that. I would be happy to, because I know how confusing it can be, and now how incredibly confusing is it that articles like this from the Washington Post exist. Like, way to just throw, like, such a curveball into the positive ways that the anti-diet, health at every size, weight inclusive, anti-white bias movements have been making over recent years. Like, it's something that I will never stop advocating for, because people in all bodies deserve peace. They deserve to have a version of their positive relationship with food and their health that works for them and is not this, like, super restrictive, oppressive way of going about food and health and well-being. And I will never stop advocating for that. So I hope you know that. I hope you know that I'm here for you. And I hope you know that intuitive eating is not, or anti-diet, or whatever way you want to say it, food freedom, doesn't matter, is not something that is synonymous with anti-health. Anti-diet, intuitive eating, food freedom, all the things and the way that I teach them and many of my colleagues teach them is literally to support your health, not just your physical health, but your emotional health, your mental health, and you as a whole, full individual. It's really, my view of it is that this work brings the human back into healthcare and nutrition and eating. And I think that's really important, because a lot of these other conversations don't. Anyways, I'm going to go off on too many tangents if I continue, so I'm going to leave it at that. I hope that this was helpful. I hope that this was maybe eye-opening. And I just want to leave you with, if you see headlines like this Washington Post article out there, please do not just assume that it's truth. Do not let it lead you astray, and come back to your values, your deep down values. And when you look at your values, I don't mean that the values that society has placed upon you, because maybe those values from society are very diet culture focused and are very focused on aesthetics and the number on the scale and all those things. When we remove those layers of what diet culture has maybe put onto us over the years, what are your values deep down? Do you value your well-being as a whole? Do you value the mental component and emotional components of health, and not just this, like, well, you gotta stop eating this food and you only can eat these foods? That very, like, all or nothing way of going about health and eating, like, does that fit into your true values or does it not? And I think, like, total inclusive care and all of these, you know, ways of going about health in a different way for people who have been so oppressed because they have different bodies and marginalized bodies. Like, that old weight inclusive way of going about health needs to change, and it's not supportive. It is not. It is harmful. And I do wish, and I hope, and I know we will continue to advocate for equitable care for all folks in all bodies. And yeah, that is all. I wish that things, articles like this, did not come out, but they do. Press will always be press. They will always be throwing things out there, especially when things become popular. They like to, you know, put shocking headlines out. So here we are. All in all, know that you deserve to have a peaceful relationship with food. You deserve to embody your version of health, whatever that is to you. And don't let things like this come out and lead you astray. I'm here for you. If you ever need support, if you want someone who will tell you the truth, will help you sift through a lot of the BS, I'm here for that. So thank you for listening. I appreciate you, you know, coming on this journey with me, maybe even if I was a little heated in the process, but I hope that this is enlightening and sheds light on things that are often left out of the conversation. So I hope you have a beautiful rest of your day, and I will chat with you in the next episode.
Thanks so much for listening to the Intuitively You podcast. You can find the show notes from today's episode along with all the takeaways at theintuitivenutritionist.com/podcast. Let's connect on Instagram. You can find me at the.intuitive.nutritionist. Be sure to share and tag me when you're listening along. And if you're loving the podcast, I would be so honored for you to go ahead and hit that subscribe or follow button and leave a review. I'm so happy you're here and learning how to better your relationship with food, your body, and yourself. Until next time, keep on living intuitively you.